and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 14th of June. I'm Janet and your other readers are Alan, Samida and Brian. The editor this week is Samida. All are three members of Team 3. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are celebrating incredible work of volunteers, the PM has input on health site, public can help to ensure a strong case is made, ATM theft warning, a pub's plan approved, and community safety pledge. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Alan. As part of Volunteers Week from June 2nd to 8th, local social justice charity Decorum Citizens Advice took the time to highlight the incredible work its volunteers do and thank them for their exceptional contribution to the local community. In the last year, Decorum Citizens Advice has helped 8,000 people with 22,000 problems, including debt advice, housing, benefits, and energy issues. It can only do this work thanks to its 50-strong team of trained volunteers working alongside staff. Decorum Citizens Advice volunteers come from all walks of life and choose to volunteer for a variety of reasons. They include students, people getting back into work after career breaks, people with part-time jobs, carers, and people who have retired. Volunteers are often looking to gain valuable experience or to use their existing skills in new ways. Many want to have an impact in their community and find a sense of purpose in helping others. Yulia Demyanova joined Decorum Citizens Advice to help with admin work in February 2024. She said, "After 15 months of volunteering as a receptionist and training, I've now moved into a paid role as a generalist advisor with the Asylum and Refugee Advice Service. At first, I thought my people's skills weren't strong enough, but I can see how much I've grown. The experience has completely transformed me. I now feel more confident and find real satisfaction in the work I do." Now, Decorum Citizens Advice is looking for new volunteers to join and help make a difference as the rising cost of living continues to push up demand for its services. As well as volunteers who offer advice to people in person, online, or over the phone, there are opportunities for people to use their expertise in a variety of areas on a flexible basis. These include supporting the charity with financial or marketing needs, or providing administrative or IT support. Angela Fox, Chief Executive Officer at Decorum Citizens Advice, said, "We're forever grateful to our wonderful team of volunteers who willingly give up their time and skills to ensure the people in the borough can get the support they need. Now, more than ever, this support makes a huge difference in the growing number of people needing help with their energy bills, budgeting generally, and debts. In 2023, the charity launched its Friends of Decorum Citizens Advice Scheme to invite members of the community to become valued supporters by volunteering or by donations. To find out more, visit decorumcab.org.uk/get involved.
Hello, this is Samita. The Prime Minister has said that he hopes a public consultation will help ensure the strongest investment case is put forward for a new health campus in Hemel-Hempstead Town Centre. Sir Keir Starmer was responding to a question from David Taylor, Hemel-Hempstead's Labour MP, at Prime Minister's Questions on Thursday, June the 5th. Mr Taylor had said, "The proposed Hemel Health Campus, a partnership between the NHS and the local borough council, presents a perfect opportunity to deliver on Labour's commitment to neighbourhood-based care, bringing services closer to where people live in facilities designed around their needs. It can also help to regenerate our town centre. Does the Prime Minister agree with me that it is essential that all stakeholders involved in the project are as ambitious as possible and work to deliver a community hospital that builds on the service currently available and reflects the evolving needs of our town?" In response, Sir Keir Starmer said, "Can I pay tribute to how David Taylor is bringing people together to deliver better care in the community that meets the needs of his constituents? The proposals for the health campus will be open to public consultation. I'd urge the whole community to input into that to ensure the strongest investment case is put forward. I'm pleased that waiting lists in his local trust have fallen by a fifth since March 2024 because of the investment that we've put into the NHS. In February, a feasibility study concluded that there is a strong strategic case for the health campus proposals, which could see services move from Hemel-Hempstead Hospital to a new centre at Market Square. The campus could also offer GP and community health services. A new outline case will be put together by the end of 2025, considering options for the proposed campus's location and details of the services that will be provided." After Prime Minister's questions, David Taylor said, "This project is a once-in-a-generation chance to transform healthcare in our town. We must not settle for the minimum. Residents deserve a campus that acts as a proper community hospital that reflects the needs of our growing and changing population. I am holding to account the key decision makers to ensure this project is as ambitious as possible." He said he is pushing the campus to include diagnostic services, 24/7 triage, minor procedure facilities, mental health and well-being services, care for vulnerable patients, and step-down and rehabilitation wards. The Liberal Democrat leader of the Decorum Borough Council, Councillor Sally Symington, told the Local Democracy reporting service, "We are excited by the progress of the project. The new health campus would improve the health and well-being of our communities by providing healthcare services, a range of clinical facilities, and other NHS services into a purpose-built and accessible facility. We look forward to continuing our collaboration with our partners to progress this project further. The project is also being worked on by West Hart Teaching Hospital NHS Trust and Hertfordshire and West Essex Integrated Care Board."
Hello, this is Brian. Police officers are warning residents to be vigilant following a series of ATM thefts reported throughout Hertfordshire. Hertfordshire Constabulary is raising the alarm after over 100 cash machine thefts have been reported in the county. All these crimes have been reported since April from banks in the Boreham Wood, Hemel-Hempstead and Watford areas of Hertfordshire. The police force is warning residents against a specific type of theft where it is believed that thieves have placed an object inside the ATM which allows them to retrieve the cash dispensed during the transaction. Banks are receiving reports from customers who had withdrawals seemingly cancelled, only to be told the cash had subsequently been removed from the machine. Detective Inspector Hanks from Hertfordshire Constabulary's Serious Fraud and Cyber Unit said, "It appears that these thefts are being achieved by a discreet device being placed inside the cash dispensing slot, which traps the cash during dispensing and allows the criminal to retrieve the cash. To the customer, it appears that the transaction has been declined and their cash is returned. As well as all the usual precautions you take when withdrawing cash, like shielding the keypad when typing in your PIN, you should always examine the machine before use. If anything looks out of place or it has any parts which appear to have been added, do not use it and report your suspicions to the bank. If the machine fails to return your card or any cash you have withdrawn, you should contact the police on our non-emergency number 101 and your bank to inform them. Hertfordshire Constabulary is asking residents to take the following precautions when withdrawing money. Always look closely at the card insertion and cash dispensing slots of a cash machine before using it. If it looks like it may have been tampered with, do not use it. If you realise the machine has been tampered with after you've inserted your card, call your bank while still standing at the cash machine if it is safe to do so. Always shield your hand when entering your PIN into a cash point keypad. If the machine retains your card or fails to dispense cash that you have withdrawn without a suitable explanation message on the screen, contact your bank immediately and then police on our non-emergency number 101.
Decorum's new chief inspector has revealed his key priorities for local policing in the borough. Chief Inspector Paul Stanbridge aims to build a safer and more connected community in Decorum. He started work in the top policing job in May. CI Stanbridge is local to the area and started his career with Hertfordshire Constabulary in 2006. He began as a uniformed response officer in St Albans before joining the road policing unit. He then moved into armed policing, gaining promotion to sergeant and then inspector. He has also held the role of force incident manager in the force communications room and more recently managed the constabulary's proactive teams, focusing on tackling cannabis cultivation, drug supply and high-value vehicle theft. He said, "Decorum is one of the busiest areas of the county, which brings with it some obvious challenges. I'm looking forward to using my previous experience and skills to proactively target the issues that are causing our communities the most concern. I want to ensure that we're focusing on the things that matter most to residents and that we have a meaningful engagement with our communities. We are committed to working with our local partners, including the Borough Council and housing associations, to do just that. I grew up in Hemel Hempstead and I am committed to building a safer, more connected community where everyone feels heard, respected and secure. Whether it's through neighbourhood patrols, community outreach or simply listening to your concerns, we are here for you. You can keep up to date with what your local teams are doing across Decorum by joining our community messaging service, Hearts Connected. The system allows you to receive free alerts about crime and events in your local area, as well as crime prevention advice and useful updates. You will also be able to use the system to have your say on local policing priorities. Hertfordshire Constabulary advises that the Hearts Connected can be used to set preferences on the type of police messages that are received by residents, such as posts from Action Fraud and the County's Police and Crime Commissioner."
Hertfordshire Constabulary is warning residents of fraudsters posing as police officers within the county. A number of instances involving people pretending to be police officers have been reported in recent weeks, Hertfordshire Constabulary has revealed. During the last week of May, fraudsters targeted 6 residents and stole £12,000 in total. Fake officers asked residents to hand over their bank cards or money. These instances took place in Bishop Stortford, Letchworth, Rickmansworth, King's Langley, and Radley. One Letchworth resident lost 8,000, and another resident from Rickmansworth lost 4,000. The police force confirmed these figures. Five of the victims were contacted by people claiming to be police officers, and another by someone posing as a fraud investigator from HSBC. A spokesperson for Hertfordshire Constabulary said, "These kinds of scams often involve fraudsters calling the victims via a mobile or a landline number, posing as a police officer or bank official. Claiming fraudulent activity has taken place on their bank account. The victims are then instructed to put their bank cards and or money into an envelope and give them to a courier or taxi, which is sent to the home by the offenders to collect. In some cases, the victim may be asked to buy goods or vouchers. If bank cards are collected, they can be used later by the offenders to withdraw large sums of money. The offenders may also ask the victim to disclose their bank details, including their account and PIN numbers, to aid the bogus investigation." Detective Inspector Pete Hankins from the Serious Crime and Cyber Unit added, "The number of courier fraud offences reported has been increasing across the eastern region, with people losing large sums of money. It's important to remember that police officers or bank officials will never ask you for sensitive information like a PIN number, or ask you to purchase high-value items to assist them with an inquiry. Usually, the intended victim realises the call is not genuine and refuses to part with their personal and bank details. However, these fraudsters can be very persuasive and insistent, which has resulted in some people falling victim to this scam and subsequently losing thousands of pounds. Hertfordshire Constabulary says residents should be suspicious if they receive a phone call they were not expecting. Residents are told police officers will never ask for bank account details or PIN numbers. They will never ask you to withdraw money or purchase high-value items and send it to them via a courier, taxi, or by any other means, or ask for bank cards or any other personal property to be sent to them via a courier. Residents are told that they should report a suspicious phone call to the police by calling 101 or making an online report. Police advise that residents should wait 5 minutes before making another phone call after a suspicious one to make sure the offenders are not still on the line. Alternatively, residents are advised to use a mobile phone or a neighbour's phone, or to test their landline by phoning a friend or relative first to ensure that they aren't still unwittingly connected to the offender.
This week in history, June the 14th, 1970, Bobby Charlton played his 106th and last football match for England in the World Cup in Mexico. His first was on April the 19th, 1958, against Scotland. June the 15th, 1945, Family allowance payments were introduced in Britain, 5 shillings, 25p, a week for the second child and subsequent children, but no payment for the firstborn. On this day last year, the Princess of Wales, in a carriage with her 3 children, left Buckingham Palace in the procession for Trooping the Colour, her first official outing of 2024. June 16, 1989. The 16th century Rose Theatre in London was covered with protective sand ready for a 10-storey office block to be built above it. On this day last year, golfer Bryson DeChambeau claimed his second US Open title on an extraordinary final day at Pinehurst to heap more major misery on a shell-shocked Rory McIlroy. June the 17th, 1982. Italian banker Roberto Calvi, known as God's banker due to his close ties with the Vatican, was found hanging under Blackfriars Bridge in London. June the 18th, 1976. Garfield, the world's favorite fat cat created by Jim Davis, was born. The name came from Davis's grandfather, James A. Garfield Davis. On this day last year, singer Justin Timberlake was arrested for driving while intoxicated in the Hamptons in New York.
A pub in Berkhamsted will be able to set up a garden bar and open later over the festival season. The Coram Borough Council's licensing committee has agreed. The old mill on London Road will now be able to serve alcohol and play music until midnight on Christmas Eve and until 1 a.m. on New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. The popular pub is also planning to open a bar in its garden area, where it already has permission to sell alcohol. 4 nearby residents objected to the application, so the pub's owners decided to abandon plans to stay open until 3:30 a.m. on New Year's Eve. Piers Warne, a solicitor representing the old mill, told councillors at a licensing meeting on Monday, June the 2nd, that the garden bar would be a horse box plonked into the area. He added that the garden bar had already been used without complaints through temporary event notices. Mr. Warne said, "This was, when it was taken over in late spring last year, very run down. It had run as quite a successful pub some years earlier, and then a succession of tenants unfortunately found it very difficult to operate. COVID didn't help, of course. It's a big site with big gardens, and that takes a lot of upkeep. And I'm afraid the last tenants found themselves a bit out of their depth. When they left, the place was in a pretty awful state. It took around £400,000 plus to get the pub up to the standard it is now. It opened in July 2024 and it has been very successful, and I don't think we should make any apologies for being a successful business. It now employs 15 people, which is fantastic. It is used by lots of regulars. The residents do come to the pub regularly." Mr. Warne said the outside bar would help the pub meet the licensing objective of preventing public nuisance by ensuring there was always a staff present in the garden, meaning customers would not have to carry drinks from an inside bar into the garden. He added that it was a misnomer to believe that the opening a garden bar would lead to people drinking more. The garden is subject to an earlier closing time than the pub itself.
Hertfordshire County Council has agreed to pay the parent of a child with special educational needs £3,700 following a complaint about the time taken to finalise the child's education, health and care needs, known as an EHC assessment, and the lack of educational provision. The parent took her complaint about the delay in finalising her child's EHC assessment to the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman, LGSCO. and she also complained that after her child was excluded from school, the council had failed to put in place any alternative educational provision for more than 6 months. In response to the complaint, a report published by the LGSCO suggests that the council has failed to present evidence that it had provided educational provision for the child between January and July last year. Furthermore, the issuing of a final education, health and care plan had been delayed by more than 3 months. According to the LGSCO, the County Council had already proposed the making of a payment of £2,100 to recognise the missing education and a further £200 for the time and trouble experienced. But the LGSCO has proposed that the payment for missing education should be increased to £3,200, equivalent to £1,600 per term. And in addition to the £200 for time and trouble, it suggested a further payment of £300 to recognise the distress caused by the delay in issuing the final EHCP. In total, that means the council has now agreed to pay the parent £3,700 in recognition of the fault highlighted. The LGSCO says that, to its credit, the council agreed to resolve the complaint and to award the payments within a month of their decision. Commenting on the investigation, a spokesperson for Hertfordshire County Council told the Local Democracy Reporting Service, "We acknowledge the findings of the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman when a ruling is made against the council. Whilst every effort is made to meet statutory timeframes, in this case, the level of service fell short of what parents should expect. While we cannot discuss individual cases, we sincerely apologise to the parent and child and continue to take steps to improve service standards for children with special educational needs and disabilities." An education, health and care assessment is a process that determines the educational needs of a child or young person. This can lead to the issuing of an education, health and care plan that sets out a child's needs and the arrangements that should be made to meet them. The process from the request for an assessment to the issuing of an EHCP should take no longer than 20 weeks.
The Environment Agency has announced the reconnection of a chalk stream in Hemel Hempstead. Work from government officials and the local authority has led to the River Gade being reconnected to its natural floodplain at Gadebridge Park. A spokesperson for the Environment Agency said the construction project will improve wildlife habitats, reduce the risk of localised flooding downstream of the White Bridge in Gadebridge Park. Historically, the River Gade was diverted from its natural course to supply water to the former Berry Mill. The spokesperson said, "This artificial channel perched on the edge of the park caused the river to become disconnected from the surrounding landscape, leading to reduced flow, water quality issues, and limited biodiversity." Alongside contractors from BAM Nuttall and staff from Affinity Water, a project was launched to create a new river channel through the centre of the park. Two new footbridges were constructed as part of the project, as well as a gauging station to support the flood warning system, a new ultrasonic structure designed to allow fish and mammals to move freely, whilst also respecting spring flows. The spokesperson for the government agency said, "As a rare chalk stream, of which 85% globally are found in England, The River Gade is a valuable habitat, as chalk streams are known for their clear, mineral-rich water and stable temperatures, providing an ideal habitat for species such as water voles and brown trout. Councillor Robin Brobham said, "This is a landmark moment for Gadebridge Park and for a local environment. The return of the River Gade to its natural course not only restores an important ecosystem, but also enhances the park experience for our residents and other visitors. We're proud to have worked with our partners to deliver this project that benefits both people and nature." More details on the project have been shared on the Environment Agency's website. Chris Wilson, an area director of the Environmental Agency, said, "Getting to this stage marks the huge collective effort of a large number of people, not just at the Environment Agency, but from our partners, Decorum Borough Council, and Affinity Water, and our contractors, JBA, BAM Nuttall, and Arcadis, and many others besides. I'd like to thank everyone involved for their perseverance and commitment in bringing such a complex and ambitious project to complete finalisation."
Now we come to the information slot. This includes what's on and any more news. What's on at the cinema? How to Train Your Dragon. From the Oscar nominee and Golden Globe winner Dean DeBoer, the creative visionary behind DreamWorks Animation's acclaimed How to Train Your Dragon, comes a stunning live-action reimagining of the film that launched the beloved franchise. Ballerina, a young female assassin seeks revenge against the people who killed her family. Clown in the Cornfield, with chilly, memorable set pieces and messy mayhem aplenty, this film will be sure to electrify both young horror audiences and fans of the classic slasher movies. Karate Kid Legends. This film unites the iconic martial arts makers of one of the most beloved film franchises of all time to tell a completely new story full of action and heart. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Our lives are the sum of our choices, starring Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt. Final Destination, Bloodlines. The newest chapter in New Line Cinema's bloody successful franchise takes audiences back to the very beginning of death's twisted sense of justice. Tornado. Set in the rugged landscape of 1790s Britain, Tornado finds herself caught in a perilous situation where she and her father's traveling puppet show crosses the path with a ruthless criminal gang leader and his ambitious son. Sinners. Trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. The Ballad of Wallace Island. Eccentric lottery winner Charles dreams of getting his favorite musicians back together. The fantasy becomes real when the bandmates and former lovers agree to play a private show at his home on Wallace Island. Old tensions resurface as Charles tries desperately to salvage his dream gig. The Salt Pass. A profound true story of husband and wife, Rainer and Moth, winds 630-mile trek along the beautiful but rugged Cornish, Devon and Dorset coastline. The Phoenician Scheme, the story of a family and a family business.
What's on at the theatre? Bat Out of Hell, Milton Keynes Theatre, June the 16th to 28th. The stage-shaking music of Jim Steinman and Meatloaf propel this electrifying journey from Raven's bedroom to the underground world of the lost in a visual feast, with a powerhouse 8-piece live band on stage. Glenn Adamson, Sharon Sexton and Rob Fowler play Strat, Sloan and Falco, joined by Katie Tomkinson as Raven. Their vocal talents will bring Meatloaf's anthems to life, including I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, 2 Out of 3 Ain't Bad, Dead Ringers for Love, and of course, Bat Out of Hell. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book.
What's on in music? An Evening Without Kate Bush, Watford Palace for Theatre, June the 20th. Music lovers can howl with the Hounds of Love and dance on the moors with Wuthering Heights with this smash hit cabaret-style homage adored by critics and audiences alike. Visit watfordpalacetheatre.co.uk or call 01923 225 671 to book. A Tapestry of English Vocal Music is on Saturday the 21st of June at Chipperfield in the St Paul's Church. And that starts at 7:30. Tickets are £18 or £5 if you're under the age of 17. The website information can be found at chipperfieldchoral.co.uk.
Music at St John's will present a concert on Sunday 29th June at 6:30 p.m. performed by Trio Forenna, part funded by Decorum Borough Council as part of the Decorum Creative Showcase, a vibrant celebration of Decorum's arts, culture and heritage, funded by the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. Trio Forenna is formed of three of the UK's most outstanding musicians and will present a dazzling and impassioned programme of piano trio masterpieces. The trio takes its name from the ancient Roman goddess of freshwater springs, from which are derived the English words fervent and effervescent. Having performed together in different configurations for many years, including recitals at the Wigmore Hall, the musicians are now joining to perform together as Trio Forenna. Violinist Nathaniel Anderson Frank is leader of the BBC Concert Orchestra, famous for its regular Friday night is music night slot. The trio is completed by Ella Rundle, cello, and Richard Utley, piano. The trio's programme will include Elgar, Salut d'Amour, Debussy, piano trio in G major, Rachmaninoff, vocalise, and Brahms' piano trio in C major, opus 87. As this concert is part funded by a micro grant from Decorum Borough Council, the council is able to keep the adult ticket price down to £12. Moreover, to encourage potential younger audience members to attend, there is an offer of free entry to all under 26 years of age. Tickets are available from www.ticketsource.co.uk/music-at-st-johns. Tickets will also be available at the door on the night. Decorum cardholders will only pay £9, a 25% discount. The same discounted price of £9 will also apply on this occasion to all members Friends of Music at St John's. For more information, telephone 773 990, email masg on music@stjohnsboxmoor.org.uk, or follow the MASJ or St John's Boxmoor Facebook pages.
Join the Armed Forces Day as Dukorum celebrates the men and women who make up the Armed Forces community, from current serving troops to service families, veterans and cadets. This will take place on Saturday the 20th of June, 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in Market Square, Hemel Hempstead. This family-friendly day will feature a range of activities for all ages, including film screening, military vehicles, face painting, and much more. More details will be published soon.
More than 80 children with SEND in Hertfordshire have been waiting in excess of 12 months for a place at a specialist school, according to the latest data. That's significantly lower than the 187 pupils who had been waiting for a specialist place for 12 months or more in September 2023. But Executive Director of Children's Services, Joe Fisher, told a meeting of the County Council's Education, SEND and Inclusion Cabinet panel that it was too long. And she said officers were doing everything within their capacity to make sure these children were getting a school place as fast as possible. The data was included in a wide-ranging performance report that was presented to the Cabinet panel on Friday. Also highlighted in the report was the increase in the capacity of specialist provision in the county, with the addition of 764 places in specialist schools in Hertfordshire and 255 in specialist resource provisions since 2018. And it was reported that this increase in capacity, paired with officers' dedicated focus to finding suitable provision for children and young people who have been waiting, has reduced the number of waiting in excess of 12 months. Nevertheless, Conservative Councillor Paula Hiscox told officers that the number of children who have been waiting in excess of 12 months really concerns her. She asked whether they were receiving other forms of help while they were waiting for specialist provision. Liberal Democrat Councillor Tina Bartwas also pointed to the impact the long waits had on families asking for greater clarity on the extent of the longest waiting times. I have certainly had cases in my division of young people who have aged out of some of the support while waiting, she said. And I'm aware of the knock-on effect on the families of the children who are still waiting, and other children in those households. So how long have these children been waiting, and how realistic is it that their needs will be met? In response, strategically led for intelligence and insight, David Butler, said the significant majority of the 81 children recorded in the report had been waiting between 1 and 2 years. He added, "I can't give you the precise number, but just to give that assurance that although a long time, for almost all of these children, it is 1 to 2 years and not beyond that." During the meeting, Head of Improvement and Transformation, Samantha Rostam, acknowledged that it could be really challenging for families, but she confirmed that they did get support during their wait, often provided in a mainstream setting with a wraparound offer of support so that they can access education until we can get them into the setting that is much more optimal. However, it must be said that we recognise that's often not good enough from a parent's perspective, she said. It's still really, really difficult because it just felt like they are still sort of waiting for that, you know, ideal place. And unfortunately, given where we are in such a challenging system, we are having to utilise the structure and the support that we have available to do that and do it to the best of our ability. But it's still a real challenge. Commenting on those waiting in excess of 12 months, Joe Fisher said, "I know from a parent and child experience that is not good enough." We are in a really difficult situation where we are trying to do our best in a really difficult national local context. We are creating as many new places as we can, satellites, specialist resource provisions, building new special schools. However, we know that the reality is that at the moment in time, we do have too many children who are waiting for that specialist provision and where we're having to put in place that wraparound support. And we are really working hard to make sure those parents know that we are doing our best and we haven't forgotten their child and that we are doing everything within our capacity to do our very best to make sure their children get a school place as fast as possible.
Hearts Fire and Rescue tackled a blaze at a metal recycling centre in the early hours of this morning, the 12th of June. Nearby residents were advised to keep their windows shut as fire control confirmed they were at the scene of a fire at a metal recycling centre in Railway Terrace, Kings Langley, at 4:57 a.m. Firefighters had been alerted by an automatic fire alarm at 1:30 a.m. Six fire engines and an aerial ladder platform were sent to the scene. Hearts Police were called at 3:23 a.m. to assist with road closures, which they said were expected to last for some time, and asked motorists to check ahead before travelling along Railway Terrace, Kings Langley. Just before 7 a.m, the force confirmed that the fire had been extinguished and all roads had been reopened. Previous safety advice is no longer in place and residents can open their windows and doors, they added. ASM Metal Recycling Centre is located between Langley Wharf and Kings Langley Angling Society off Railway Terrace. The fire is not being treated as suspicious.
The upcoming SEND Summit will be a pivotal moment in shaping the future of services for children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND. Their families, the schools they attend, and the professionals who support them. It will help inform Hertfordshire's new SEND strategy for 2026 to 2031, which will be launched later this year. While HCC has made real progress in listening more closely to a wider range of voices and acting on what they hear, people still feel disconnected from the process. That must change. This summit is part of a commitment to making sure everyone has the opportunity to be heard and to influence what happens next. This summit will be an important moment in the drive to improve services for children and young people with SEND, as well as their parents and carers, and everyone who works in the system. It will be an opportunity for people to share their ideas and experiences to inform the development of a new SEND strategy for 26 to 31. There's been significant work by officers to make sure we are listening to a range of groups and acting on their feedback. But we know there is more to do and that people feel disengaged. I am determined that their voices will be heard in the next phase of our improvement journey. In the lead up to the summit, people are invited to get involved by taking part in pre-summit engagement activities to share their experiences and ideas and shape the future SEND strategy. Submitting questions for the summit panel, helping direct and inform the conversations that matter most. The summit itself will bring together parent, carer representatives, schools, professionals and partners to explore challenges, share learning and build shared ownership of the changes we need to see. It will also spotlight national developments in SEND policy and how they affect Hertfordshire, alongside local progress and innovation. Details of the summit, planned for September, will be confirmed soon.
Now some sports news. The signings have kept on coming for Hemel Hempstead Town this week as the new National League South season edges closer. Lee Allinson has been busy retaining and recruiting ever since the last campaign finished, with more new faces now in through the door while ahead of pre-season training. Striker Miller Matthews-Lewis has signed a permanent deal, having initially been on loan with the Tudors for the last 3 months of the season. He began his career with Luton Town and has also featured for Farnborough Town. Allinson said, "I'm so pleased to get Mills back to the club. I was so impressed with him last season on loan and felt like we were only scratching the surface with his ability." Also joining is midfielder Jack Gray from fellow National League South side Hampton and Richmond. Gray made over 100 EFL appearances for clubs including Yeovil Town, Hartlepool United and Luton Town, also spending time with Woking. Allinson added, "Jake is a great signing for us. The minute I saw him, I knew we had to get him. He can do all sides of the game. A brilliant player who's played the level and above for a long time." Defender Jordan Thompson is another new arrival, having joined from Weymouth. Starting out in Coventry City's first team, Thompson has since featured for clubs including for Gloucester City and Hereford before 2 years at Weymouth. Allinson said, "Another real good one for us. Jordan is a very good player who knows the level very well, and I'm really excited he chose to join us." Winger Orfeo Bello is another addition, having featured for clubs including Carshalton, Potters Bar, Dover Athletic and Wingate and Finchley, while midfielder Kieran Wiltshire has been confirmed as signing a new deal, having featured extensively for the Tudors last season.
Rain affects all of Hemel Hempstead's games at the weekend, with the first team being saved from defeat at Chorley Wood. But there was a tense rain affection for the second team, while the fourth team fell to a big defeat. Here is our roundup of this week's action. First 11 A versus Chorley Wood First 11 Championship. The threat of rain was determining a lot of toss-winning captains' decisions across the Hearts League. Hemel won the toss and inserted Chorley Wood. For a side that had lost their previous four games, they did surprisingly well, making it to 239 for 7 from their 50 overs. Ed Pike, 2 for 25, and Darren James, 2 for 37, led the wicket-taking for Hemel. Then the heavens opened and the game was washed out. Chorley Wood probably the happier as they avoided another defeat. Second 11, H, versus Wheathamstead First 11, Division 3A. Hemel were put in and scored 235 for 6 in their 50 overs, with openers Tayyab Sadiq up from the third 11, scoring 57, and Tom Waterton, 65, putting on 124 for the first wicket. Charlie Hoskins managed to bludgeon 48 from 43 balls. 11A Langbury and 11 alls, 5 fours, 1 6 from 3. Rain then played its part, but the Heath Park was up to it and the DLS system came into play. Wheathamstead were set a target of 165 from 30 overs. Hemel managed to keep them to 159 for 9 to claim the win and 30 points. Charlie Hoskins took out the tail for Hemel to end with 3 for 26, as Hemel moved up to the dizzy heights of 5th in the division. 3rd 11A versus Langbury and 11 Division, 2nd 11, Division 6A. Called off by Langbury on Saturday morning as ground unplayable after Friday night rain. 4th 11, H versus Boxmoor, 2nd 11, Division 8 West. Rain which affected Hemel, 2nd 11 at Heath Park, seemed to have missed the 4th 11 next door as they managed to lose their local derby game against Boxmoor, 2nd 11. Put in Boxmoor, made it to 174 for 8 from their 40 overs, built around 52 from Craig Gorham at number 5. Akshay Shah led the Hemel bowlers with 3 for 28, supported by Ernie Caldwell with 2 for 16. Hemel fourths were then bowled out for 115 in 26 overs to lose by 59 runs. Tyler James top scoring on 21. Result moved Boxmoor up to 2nd in Division 8 and Hemel rest at 4th. 5th 11, H versus Boxmoor, 3rd 11, Division 12 West. Like the first 11, this game was rained off, although this time Hemel had managed to bat and put themselves into an interesting position. Boxmoor thirds made 189 for 7 from their 40 overs, with Miles Bernard 2 for 23 and Sham Akhtar 2 for 34, their leading bowlers. Dhruv Thakkar, 54, and Tom Sutton, 51, hit 50s for Boxmoor. Hemel then made it to 59 for naught, with Phil Smith, 27, and Ted Butler, 24. From 15 overs before the heavens opened and the game was called off.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 04:43 and 21:22. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill." Follow this with "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." Remember, information on local amenities and services follow after the final music of this recording of the news on the Memory Stick. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us at the Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP24EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. We would like to thank our sponsors, RL Supplies, for their generosity. Over 30 years' experience in the repairs of PCs, laptops, tablets and many models of phones. Telephone 01923 896 996. Their website is rlsupplies.co.uk. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it is goodbye from your readers, the editor, and Gary, your technician for this week.